What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the first ever edition of the Backyard Bullpen Podcast. This is a podcast where I'm going to be talking to college players like I usually do, but even more so, we can expect interviews with coaches, players, former players, and people from all walks of life who enjoy the game of baseball. Because at the end of the day, baseball is a game. It's a ton of fun, and there is nothing better than the characters who make baseball so interesting. Now, this podcast is presented fully and exclusively by the Big Donkey brand right now. So if you want to buy merch and support the show a little bit, feel free to do so at bigdonkeybrand.com and make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter so you never miss an update. That is the Backyard Bullpod on Twitter. Backyard Bullpen Podcast was entirely too long for a Twitter handle. But either way, let's get right into our first episode. To start off the podcast, we had to start off with someone who starts off all things hot. And that, of course, is Georgia Tech outfielder Drew Burris. This kid immediately jumped onto the scene last season. He hit 5 home runs in his first 7 games at the college level, which is absolutely insane. So I had to pick his brain a little bit about what it was like to adjust to the college level, what it was like seeing pitchers throwing 90 plus miles an hour every at bat, and of course, what his favorite moments are from the season and his summer playing baseball. This summer, he spent time up in the Cape and also on Team USA. He played on the sophomore team, even though he was a freshman, which is really impressive. Not many people can say they did that, only like 2 or 3. So we had to pick his brain about that. And I just got to say, this kid is as impressive as it gets. How impressive he is at the plate, even more impressive as a talker. This guy really gets it. He understands the game of baseball. I love his approach at the plate. He'll say, yeah, I go up expecting to hit a home run every time. I know it might not work out that way, but that's what I want to do. Now, last season, he did have a game where it did work out that way very early in the season where they took on Georgia State. Georgia Tech took on Georgia State, a little in-state rivalry matchup, and he hit 4 home runs with 4 swings of the bat. And you're like, yeah, of course, you got to swing the bat 4 times. He only swung the bat 4 times that game, and every time it resulted in a home run, which is absolutely insane. He ended up finishing the season with 25 home runs, which was just 1 shy of the Georgia Tech record previously set by Kevin Parada at 26. But what I want to mention is he did have a game against Georgia, a little in-state rivalry again, where he hit a home run. He deposited a ball over the fence, but the game ultimately got rained out, so that home run didn't count. But me personally, I think anytime you dump a ball over the fence, that should count as a home run, even if the game didn't officially, you know, finish or anything of that nature. I just think that's something that should happen. But that's enough about this. Let's go into it and let's talk to Drew. What is going on, everyone? We are officially back with the Backyard Bullpen. And I got to say, this is a very exciting one because this is a guy who literally when he's up at the plate, it's like backyard baseball. The kid absolutely mashes. We're joined by Georgia Tech's Drew Burris. Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to let you down, but I'm not that exciting, I promise you. But no, I'm very excited to talk to you. I mean, as a freshman last season, you hit well over 380, you hit 25 bombs. You know all this stuff by now, but it's just insane stuff. I think one of my favorite things as someone who covers the game is when a freshman gets on campus and just really hits the ground running. But before we can get talking about that, before any of that happened, you, of course, had to get recruited. So what was your recruiting process like?
I was kind of I kind of waited with my recruiting process. And, you know, I mean, it's gotten a little better the last couple of years. But kind of when I was coming through, it was a lot of freshmen and sophomores committing. Just a lot of that stuff going on early. But I wanted to wait. And I took all 5 of my official visits. And I went to North Carolina, Florida, Florida State, LSU, and Georgia Tech finally. And I mean, got to sit down with all the coaches, got to really see all the campuses, go to football games, basketball games, whatnot. And, but I mean, I really am glad that was kind of the process that I had. I feel like a lot of people miss out on getting to, they just kind of go at the first big school that offers them, or they have one place that they've kind of always wanted to go, and they just jump at it as soon as somebody gives it to them. But I really enjoyed that process, getting to meet all these guys. And I mean, I still give all those guys. I mean, I gave last year, gave the guys at UNC and everywhere else. I mean, get to give them a fist bump, say, appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for considering me. I understand that this probably would have been a more fun weekend for you guys had I been on your team, but I appreciate you coming out and playing and pitching to me, you know, and thank you for not walking me all weekend, because you guys know what I can do. You guys inspected it. But so what year did you commit then, or what year in high school were you?
I ended up committing December of my junior year. So kind of, I actually committed on my birthday, which was December 5th. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never met someone who's not incredibly handsome born December 5th. I'm also born December 5th, so shout out to that. Yeah, when I was doing my creepy stalker research / job sort of thing, I was like, hey, look at that. Smart guy being born
that
day.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have a choice, but hey, good time for it. But you kind of made the important decision, and you did it right, where it's like, hey, I'm going to wait till I'm a little bit older. And, you know, I know a little bit more about life, know a little bit more about what to expect at the next level. And so I got to tip my cap to you for that. I always say that's what I did, but in reality, no one offered me till I was like super old. And I was like, all right, yeah, no, we'll roll with it. But so really cool. What made you decide Georgia Tech was the school for you?
To be honest with you, there was kind of two or three main factors that went into it. Number one was, obviously, I mean, wherever you go, collegiate wise, I mean, the number one goal at the end of the day is to be a big league all star and be a Hall of Famer, and just Georgia Tech's track record of being able to turn out those guys. I mean, big leaguers and big time draft picks and hitters especially. Georgia Tech, I mean, has as good a track record as anybody at that, and that was probably the number one biggest factor. And then right behind that, it was Coach James Ramsey. I mean, obviously Coach Hall is one of the most winningest, maybe I think he actually is the winningest active D1 coach. And Coach Ramsey is just, I mean, the best hitting mind I've ever been around. He's I mean, I can't even explain to you how much he's helped me just since I've gotten on campus. And those guys were obviously a big part of it too. And obviously it's nice to be I'm a good distance from home. I can go home when I want to, but not too close either. So
yeah, no, that's definitely a good balance where it's like, hey, look, something bad happens, I need to go home, we're good. We can do that. It's not going to be a plane trip or anything like that. It'll be an easy drive, but also, you know, something minor happening, I can just handle it here. I'm not too far away from home. I'm familiar with it. Now, being at Georgia Tech for a year now, you got a year under your belt. What's your new favorite? Like, what's your favorite part of being with Georgia Tech?
I mean, just it's just a completely different world. Honestly, like I you don't really know what to expect coming in as a freshman. I mean, you hear about college baseball and how much fun it is and blah blah blah, and I mean, you're just out there trying to get through the fall without dying. I mean, and make sure that you're gonna be playing when the spring comes and just trying to get better and all that. But I mean, it really is true what they say. I mean, it's, you feel like a big leaguer, going and traveling to these places and with these big crowds and you get to eat a nice dinner on Thursday nights and practice on the field. And I mean, it really is. I mean, to me, that's my favorite part, is just, I mean, getting to hit BP in all these different parks and just getting to see and compete against all these other teams with some of my boys and even getting to play against a lot of the guys that I've grown up playing with and always seeing. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun once that time comes around.
Yeah. That's honestly one of my favorite parts, is like the brotherhood of baseball with how small the circles get. Like, it's always the same people, 'cause like no random person's just going to be 20 2 and be like, oh, I'm going to play baseball and be a college baseball player now. So it's like you guys rise together and you know each other. And as years go on, those circles get smaller and smaller, which is really cool. You mentioned an important thing, which is just surviving that first fall. Do you guys have like an intense conditioning or anything like that? Or was it more just like, look, I'm in a totally different world right now. I got to figure out how to adjust.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of both of that. I mean, we have a, our weight coach, Coach Tambor, he's awesome, but he kind of takes it easy on you a little bit when you get there. And then once you, and then you go straight into fall ball, which I mean, coming in, I mean, I didn't realize that, in high school, you just kind of go out the field and hit some BP a couple of days, maybe take some fly balls or something. I mean, but fall ball is, I mean, literally a full on season, which I didn't really know. I mean, coming into it, I mean, you're playing 3-4 inter squads a week and practicing hard another 2 days. So, I mean, getting through that without, I mean, that itself was already as much as I had ever played. And then right after that finishes up, you have 3 or 4 weeks of getting smashed in the weight room and conditioning and that type of stuff before you get to go out for Christmas break. So, I mean, just kind of all of that combined together is all kind of – it's not easy and it's not supposed to be, but that kind of all compounded.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I remember my freshman year, I had no idea what to expect. And to be honest, by the time I got back for winter break, I was like, what just happened? Like, I don't even know. I was carrying a log up a hill. Like, I genuinely don't know what happened. But, you know, you made that adjustment well, and we'll get into that. Because, again, you have this insane freshman season. You hit a lot of home runs, but you're also hitting for average like crazy. So how would you say you kind of avoid complacency? How do you say like, look, that's good, but not good enough for me?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just one of those things it's kind of always been instilled into me from my dad. I mean, he played professional baseball and he's kind of was always the guy. I mean, when I was 12 years old and go 2 for 3 with 2 homers and a fly out to the warning track. It's not, you did a good job hitting 2 homers. It's, you should have hit that third ball out. I mean, and that does go a long way. I mean, obviously you're never going to be perfect in baseball. And I mean, you just have to continue to strive as close as you can be every day and be able to adjust. And even when your swing's the best it's ever been, it can always get better. Even when you're swinging at the right pitches, you can always screw it up but it's just one of those things kind of.
Yeah, definitely. And like something about watching you play, like there's home run hitters where it's like, okay, they're going to step up to the plate. If they get a fastball here, they're going to hit it to the moon, but you're kind of, or they're going to strike out or something like that. Like they can be worked around, but you're the type of guy where it's like every at bat, it seems like, you know what you want to get and you're going to foul off pitches. You're going to do something until you get that pitch. So what's your approach like at the plate to where you're able to do that? Cause obviously like the bat to ball skills, you have that, like the hand eye coordination is there. So how do you utilize that for your approach?
Yeah. I mean, my bad. My low power thing on my phone just went off.
No, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that Coach Ramsey has really helped me out with is kind of one of those things. I mean, it's not just necessarily a generic, I'm looking for a fastball no matter what. And if I don't get it, then I'm screwed. And if I do get it, then I'll hit it. It's just kind of playing the game. Honestly, I mean, you have a big fastball changeup guy and you swing and you pull a fastball foul. I mean, the odds say, I mean, you're probably going to end up getting a changeup, just kind of that type of thing and being able to think the game and think along with pitchers and pitching coaches. And I think it's kind of one of the things that really helped me out last year. And I mean, and obviously every team has a different plan on how to pitch you. I mean, Duke spammed me 95 mile an hour fastballs for a full weekend. And I don't think I got one fastball from other teams like Virginia. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, there's a seesaw of what you're going to get and just being able to kind of see what's happening and see how they're trying to pitch you and depending on what guys have, just kind of taking all that into account to figure out what pitch I want.
Definitely. So it sounds like you're one of the guys who it's not just, all right, I'm going to go up there and mash this one. Like, there is a lot of thought that goes into it, which I think that makes you such a dynamic hitter. Now, going kind of along that same vein, were there any home runs you hit this year where you were like, I did not expect to hit a home run there? Like, how, because there were a lot I was watching where I was like, how did he just do that? Were there any for you where you're like, you're around in first base and you're like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, I don't know how that happened. We're just going to go.
There was actually, I mean, to be honest with you, there was quite a few of them. I hit one against Miami. I was kind of, for some reason, I hit pretty well against Virginia. And then, but my bat, like, I wasn't hitting the ball. Like, I hit a couple balls that I thought I hit well that, like, just didn't really go nowhere. I don't know if the ball just wasn't flying or what happened.
Yeah, and that's the dish.
So I was like, okay, I'm gonna switch my bat. That other one's getting a little tired. And I go and I went 0 for on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, they have the lefty Hernandez or whatever's throwing. I think I got out my first at bat, and I said, okay, screw this bat. I'm going back to my old bat. And I freaking, I'm sure you can pull up the video, but I like butt out one hand, like chop at a ball, like, I mean, 6 inches off the ground, and it goes out dead center. I'm around it. I was like, wow. I mean, that was just my bat telling me that I shouldn't have ever switched up.
Yeah, it's one of those things like, hey, I went through that little slump. We had distance made the heart grow fonder with that.
Yeah. I mean, I had one against I had a couple against Georgia, that game against Georgia State where I hit four. I hit one lefty just throwing, like, I mean, just basically submarine cheese balls, like 92, 94. And I mean, I just wasn't seeing it, like, and he hadn't thrown a strike like yet. I was like the third batter. I think I was like the third batter of the inning, and he hadn't thrown a strike yet. Now I got like a 2-1 count, and I was like, okay, he's missed every pitch up and away. If it's in that general area, I'm just gonna see if I can hit it, just because I'm swinging the bat so good. Right? And sure enough, he kind of threw one, I mean, up and away off the plate, and I just like closed my eyes, and it went like right down the right field line. Like, it was one of those ones like that should like. It should have just sliced on off, way foul, and it just stayed as true as it could stay, right down that right field line for a homer. I think I had another good one in mind too, but I can't remember what it was right now.
No,
but
I mean, yeah, you got a whole Rolodex.
Against Highfield, the NC State, obviously. Mm-hmm. He threw me we were watching it on film, and he always when he was younger, he dropped down a good bit, and as mm-hmm. he continued to get older, he dropped down less and less. And I'm pretty sure the only time that he dropped down all year last year, he threw me a submarine slider, and I don't know how on earth, but I literally there's no way I was looking at the ball, but I just went down and got it, like another one that was like just like barely off the ground, and just smoked it to like mostly center left center field. And I think that was the only time he dropped down all year last year. But
see, that's when you know you're a dangerous hitter, where you're like, all right, I'm gonna take away the tricks that these guys are throwing out there, because I was a weird arm slot guy. I would totally around with some over the top fastballs. But as soon as I gave up a hit on them, I was like, all right, we're cooked. We're just going to drop back down, get back to the basics. So, and as a pitcher, there's nothing more frustrating than when it's like, okay, I cannot find the zone right now. And then you finally execute that one pitch you've been looking to execute, and the hitter's just like, all right, down the right field line, it's gone, whatever. But I'm glad you brought up your bat, because I do want to talk about that a little bit, because with NIL, there's so much talk on either side of the fence. Of, oh, it's bad, or oh, it's this. I don't really care either way. I think it's really cool that players are getting paid, but you're one of the guys that I think everyone can agree you're doing NIL right. And the one I'm really thinking of is the 44 Pro Gloves. I got the model number written down here. The Drew Burris XP or Power XP. Got the mm-hmm. order wrong, and I have it written down. But what is that like for you as a player to have a brand be like, hey, look, you hit a lot of home runs. We want you to be the face of this baseball bat.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously, I mean, as as cool as anything that I did last year was I mean, and 44 is obviously a big part of what we do at Georgia Tech, and they do a lot for us, and it kind of just really worked out well where I mean, obviously I was getting a lot of recognition and everybody's like, what is this bat? What is this bat? And they were planning on releasing it, but just kind of didn't really have like a didn't really know how yet. So they kind of came up with the idea. I mean, yeah, let's put your face and your name with it and it's your bat and you can and then we'll kind of help grow this thing together. And that's exactly what we did. And I really appreciate those guys. They've been awesome. With helping not only me but Georgia Tech and I mean it's really cool. I got to design it and I think it turned out pretty sweet. So I got my actual it's the same bat as the one that I swung last year. It just got a redesign and release to the public, and now I mean pretty much the whole team swings it, but which is kind of cool in itself. But I get to swing it now, and I think it might be might be a little hotter than it was last year. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hitting the ball harder. So,
yeah, no, it could either be, you know, putting on some weight, getting bigger and stronger, or it could be the bat. I think cooler gear makes the baseball part of things way easier. So I do think that the design probably helps out too, but it's really like, I just thought it was so cool. Cause I remember like, it just looked like a generic gold bat from what I recall. And it had the 44 logo. And I remember people asking me like, hey, what's this kid swinging? And I was like, look, you can't get it. Go to Georgia Tech. Then you can get it. Like, I think that's how it works. But then I saw like y'all were partnering together and I was like, that's so cool. So on their website, it says designed by Drew Burris. Did you like get to do the whole design process? Did they help you out with that? What was that like?
Yeah, they kind of had like a basic format that they wanted to use, but they really gave me, I guess full responsibility to do whatever I wanted with it. And I mean, anything that I wanted to change, they were up to change, but I mean, we kind of stuck with like the format that they had originally. And they gave me some, I told them I needed to put the chains on there and we got my logo on there and a signature on there. And we got some kind of other stuff. There's like a ATL in the background and like a Atlanta skyline too. So, I mean, it was definitely a dual effort. It wasn't just me. It was definitely them too. But I definitely had the privilege of, I mean, I could pretty much have done whatever I wanted to with it.
Did you ever at any point think like, hey, let's put the face on there. Might as well. We're here.
I don't think that one ever crossed my mind. That might have been a little too far.
Probably a good call, because what if the face isn't on the sweet spot? Or what if the face is on the sweet spot? Yeah. Then we're really screwed, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's no good options there.
But again, so people can buy that on 44progloves.com, right? Which is really cool. I think before we recorded, I was on the website. $199. That's a hell of a deal. In today's economy,
it's not bad at all for I mean how BB Corps bats are now. I mean, that's
the drop some bombs. Yeah, sign me up for sure. Now we're talking about the Atlanta skyline there for a second, and I've always wondered this as a pitcher: is it hard to hit at Georgia Tech with how cool the backdrop looks? Like, do you ever find yourself getting distracted, like maybe during the night game, like, wow, that's sick? Because as
will,
a pitcher,
I will say, yeah, no, I will say, I. It doesn't get me when I'm in the batter's box, but sometimes I'll be sitting in the dugout and I'm like, dang, I mean, this is so beautiful. And like the other night when we played our scrimmage game, obviously I didn't play all 14 innings. I just got to sit there on the bench for a minute and just take it all in. And it is it's about as good a view as, I mean, you'll find anywhere.
Yeah. Like I love the way the field's set up down there. Like the skyline view is sick. The playing surface is like the best in college baseball in terms of like grass and just like turf in general. Like, I remember first thing I did when I got there for our Thursday evening practice was I like essentially rolled around in the grass like a dog. I was like, damn, this is awesome. But like, and I love the way that there's like, I believe it's Fratz in right field beyond the fence, it's someone who was very rowdy. I remember that much because they were giving us. But it's just a really cool setup they got there. Now, again, you played a lot of baseball last year, played a lot of baseball in a row, and then immediately after that, you start up summer ball. You play for the YD Red Sox and Team USA. What was that like for you?
That was, just an awesome experience all the way around. I mean, Capes, you always, that was just another thing that, you always hear about the Cape Cod growing up. And I didn't really have any idea what it was or what to expect when I was going up there. And, it's really cool. I mean, it's just, it's truly, the best college talent all in one little tiny area. And, playing on a bunch of high school fields and with nice weather. And it's a great experience. Anybody who gets a chance to do out there, to go out there, I would definitely recommend that. But on the other hand, USA was, it's even another step up. We got to play, and I actually got to, because Lavalette kind of had the hamstring thing at the end of the year, and Cannarella also got, whatever he had hurt. So, the way that they did it, it was kind of supposed to be like a freshman team and a sophomore team, but because both those guys got hurt, I was on the sophomore team because they didn't have a center fielder, and I got to play. So I got to play against the Chinese Taipei, and we took that tour, and I got to play with all those guys that are going to be big time picks this year. And that was awesome. That was, I made it in the first game. I made it. I threw a guy out at home that would have been the either tying or winning run. And it was like, it was one of the coolest moments I've had on a baseball field. So it was just a great experience all the way around.
Yeah. And I was able to go to a few of those games while y'all were in Cary. And like one thing that really stuck out was like how cool the fans were on both sides of the ball. Like the Chinese Taipei fans, yeah. Like I'm sure when you had that outfield assist, they were bummed for a second, but it was immediate. Like, dang, we just saw a really good baseball play happen. Let's give some props. So what was it like playing against an international team? Like, was there anything different about their game that stood out to you?
Oh yeah. They play a completely different, like, kind of baseball than I've really ever seen. They didn't swing and miss at all. Like it was, 100 mile an hour fastball. They were just hitting it right out of the catcher's mitt, foul ball. Like they would not, it didn't matter who we threw up there. Like it was just impossible to strike them out, but they also didn't hit for a lot of power. Which it took us about two games to figure that out. So, and they were just kind of, they were just blooping balls in front of us. And so, but after about the second game, we figured out, okay, these guys haven't hit the ball over our head yet. We're going to start playing them in. And then we kind of started taking away some hits. But all the pitchers have 27 different pitches. You didn't see the same pitch twice in any at bat. And they throw a fastball that goes this way, a fastball goes that way, a fastball, like a vert fastball. And they got a little sinker. And then they got a cutter and a slider and a sweeper and a 12-6 curveball and a splitter that goes down and a splitter that goes. It's just, they all got all the different pitches, and you won't see the same one twice in a bat. And what was honestly maybe even the craziest thing to me was the pitchers, they'd finish their inning and they'd walk straight in the bullpen and just keep throwing in the bullpen. And then until their team finished hitting, then they just walked straight back on them. They never stopped throwing the whole time they were pitching. It was crazy.
I could not imagine that happening over here. The uproar that would be on social media, like, oh, coach is going to destroy these kids. It's like, that is insane. My arm hurts just thinking about that. Obviously they probably train for that. They know what they're doing, but you're right. That is I've never seen someone do that personally. So that's a nutty experience. But what would you say was your favorite moment of the summer? It could be either Team USA or on the Cape.
I think probably the coolest thing was when our last Stars and Stripes game on July 4th, when we were taking, my bad, my roommate just walked in.
No, you're good.
I'll go close the door. Hey, be quiet. I'm on an interview. All right, but yeah, so I think that probably the coolest thing was on the July 4th game, we it was like the eighth inning. They just like some house like right down the street or something just started shooting all kind of fireworks up. And we were all sitting there on the bench watching. Somebody was trying to hit. We were like, yeah, I mean, there ain't no way he's gonna make contact with anything right now. And I mean, it went off for like an inning and a half, like the almost the whole rest of the game. And it was awesome. I mean, July 4th, USA, two USA teams playing against each other. I mean, there was a good crowd. I mean, it was, and I'd hit a homer right before that too, so I was extra happy. So.
Yeah, that makes the fireworks a little bit cooler. I've never hit a home run before fireworks, or, you know, just in general, but I'm sure it feels extra cool with the fireworks going on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel like that's about as Team USA as it can get, like playing baseball, fireworks in the background. They describe it in The Sandlot, and that's everyone, like, I dreamed of that moment as a kid. I unfortunately wasn't a good enough hitter, and my state didn't sell fireworks, so...
Yeah, and they even got a cool video of me running out to take the field too with the fireworks going off, and it was really cool. So
yeah, that'll definitely play. That'll be one that lives on Instagram forever for sure. Now, you do a lot on the field. We've talked about home runs. We've talked about outfield assists. What's your favorite thing to do on a baseball field? Like, what part of it's the most fun for you?
I mean, it's pretty hard not to say hitting a home run, a big home run, just to kind of take the other team's like momentum away, or even to put your team ahead and like give yourself. I mean, I hit a few of those this year where we were down a couple runs, and then I'd hit a big home run, and then we'd start boom, boom, coming back, and that was, I mean, and just being able to look back on the game and see that like that you were the turning point, kind of where it started going. Go in the direction you wanted to. That's as cool. I mean, I don't think you can do much better than that.
No, you can't. I mean, strikeouts feel pretty good as a pitcher, but nothing like, even when I would give up home runs, I'd be like, dang, that's way cooler than anything I can do today. we lose. I lose today. But now, one last question before I let you go. As a fan, there's nothing more exciting than when a guy gets to college, he's a freshman, and he just hits the ground running. We started with this. We'll end with this. You get to campus, you start mashing home runs come season, and you just really don't stop. Like, I remember there was one I was genuinely concerned because it was against Georgia where you hit a home run, then the game got suspended. I never know if you got full credit for that home run. I hope you did.
I didn't. Nope, I didn't. And that would have been the one that broke the freshman record too, so.
Well, I'm going to write a letter to somebody about that. I don't know who, but I feel like we should, because that's just not right. I thought about that all season long. I was trying to find it before this interview, but I could not find the game for the life of me. And that's probably why, because they were like, all right, well, game didn't happen then. But
yeah, exactly.
How would you say, what advice would you have to a freshman who's looking to do something similar? Obviously, if they go to another school, I'll make sure they don't listen to this point. So that, you know, they can't do it to you. But what was it that allowed you to kind of just not really miss a beat?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I saw something before about how like one of Jackson Holliday's biggest like reasons for his success isn't because he's super talented or I mean, good hitter, obviously he is, but it's one of those things. It's like, he's been in a big league clubhouse. Like, his dad was around it. Like, he knows he belongs. Like, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think is the biggest thing for freshmen coming in. I mean, obviously, it's easy to see yourself around all these 22, 23-year-olds that have played 4 years of college baseball and just are big and strong and think you don't belong, I guess. But I mean, just go out there and work and be the hardest worker in the room and be the hardest worker on the field and just get after it every day and not prove it to yourself and everybody else that you do belong there. And I mean, obviously when the success comes early, it's easier to see, but that's just the biggest thing to me is you can't doubt what you've worked for and the abilities you have. And that's the only thing that's stopping you.
Yeah, well, if you are ever doubting your abilities, just shoot me a text, because I got like a million tweets about you, about how good you are. So feel free. I'll happily pump you back up. But no, Drew, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and kind of sharing what all really goes into your game, because it's really cool. And I think you have such a unique perspective.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you having me on. I was excited to do it.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Drew Burse, I mean, he's more than just a home run hitter. He really understands the game of baseball, and I was really impressed with all he had to say. I think his approach is phenomenal at the plate. I personally am glad that I'm no longer pitching in the ACC, so I don't have to face dudes like him that, one, know everything about me on the mound because scouting has gotten so good, and two, can just hit literally anything thrown at him out of the park. When he was talking about taking a submariner yard, I've been there. It's not a fun process. I haven't taken a submariner yard, but I've been a submariner who's been taken yard one or two times. And it's tough. It's definitely tough. And when you have a hitter in the box like Drew Burse, I think, you know, you're 3-0, maybe we just walk him. That's probably what I would do. Just because, again, if he's given a chance, it doesn't matter where it is, he has the ability to take it out of the yard. Thank you so much to Drew for coming on. And thank you guys for tuning in to the first ever episode of the Backyard Bullpen. This has been something I've been very excited to get back into and get back started. And I couldn't do it without y'all's support. So thank you very much. Make sure to shop the Big Donkey brand if you're interested in supporting the show a little bit further, just a little bit further. Get a cool shirt like this one, or get a cool hat. Either way, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with another exciting episode.